calm, cool, collective, laid back, reserved. That's him. So because of that, he doesn't apply pressure to himself.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yeah. Here we go, Dory. Let me just type that out there.
You had one job.
And we'll go like that.
One job.
I'm just hitting the buttons.
But do we want to play the music out of context?
No, it doesn't really work. Should we just chalk this up to a big fail?
Nope. Let's start from scratch.
Okay.
Start from scratch. Cut everything.
All right. Well, there might be some dead air here for a moment if you don't.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
here
really?
We go. Here we go. Here we go.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think this is going really well, personally.
I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Like butter.
I think we can all agree that that was worth the last 90 seconds of your life.
Like butter.
Without the Friday afternoon. Pete Carroll popped on with us between 12:30 and 1. We'll have the Seahawk game for you Sunday. I think the primetime games are exciting, but I personally prefer the early games to the late games.
How early?
I prefer the East Coast games go on the air at 7 a.m.
I just don't like doing the watching Seahawks while eating breakfast thing.
Yeah, no try fun. Yapping about it for 3 hours before the kickoff, crying out loud.
I know. Just a different atmosphere.
Yeah. No, I enjoy the East Coast early games, but I like the atmosphere and the high stakes of prime time. So we'll have the Seahawks game. Pre-game coverage. We'll begin at 2 o'clock on your home of the Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. So speaking of football, I played yesterday the color analyst for the San Francisco 49ers. A guy named Tim Ryan is suspended from broadcasting the 49ers game this weekend because on a radio show earlier this week, he said when the 49ers played the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson is the quarterback sensation battling with Russell Wilson for league MVP. And Tim Ryan said one reason it's really hard to read the option when Lamar Jackson runs it is because of the Ravens' dark uniforms and Lamar Jackson's skin color.
His dark skin color with a dark football, with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point.
Okay, so the 49ers suspended him for saying that it made it difficult to see the football, dark uniforms, dark skin color. But what's interesting about this guy gets suspended for that. Richard Sherman, who plays for the 49ers now, he defended what Tim Ryan said. He said, yeah, what he said was correct, and it did make it tougher for us.
Never been anything but a great guy and a professional and a guy who takes the job seriously. So it's unfortunate that that's what it came to. You know, the team did what they had to do. But in that situation, you know, it's a play where he's talking football, and you know, he could have used better verbiage. But I don't think anybody in this locker room is taking it offensively or anything. He's apologized. And we know his character, so hopefully this can go over and we can confess.
So he says that none of the players took offense at that, and he had earlier said, yeah, he was correct. It was more difficult for us to track the ball given that set of circumstances. So it's interesting that one guy gets suspended, and one of the players on the team he commentates for said what he said was correct. It was accurate. So I have not heard that the 49ers are going to lift the suspension for the broadcast this weekend, but the beat goes on. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Okay, I just heard about this in Ursula's newscast about 40 minutes ago. But Kshama Sawant is proposing a new law that would ban evictions in Seattle during cold weather months. She's going to introduce the legislation on Monday, but it says landlords would not be allowed to evict their tenants during the winter months. And she says, yeah, they do it like that in Paris. Of course, we should all be more like the Parisians.
Housing as a human right. And if housing is a human right, then how can you evict families and people in the middle of winter?
Housing is not a human right. It simply isn't. It is a commodity like most other things in life. Our rights are enumerated in the Constitution. But housing is not a human right. And if you don't pay, I mean, the reason most renters get evicted is because they don't pay their rent, right? Or they cause damage. Or they break other rules. And Sawant says she does not want landlords to be able to evict.
Make sure that the city's code is changed so that renters are not evicted anytime between November 1st and March 31st.
Okay. So let's follow this to its logical conclusion. Why would anybody in Seattle pay their rent between November 1st and March 31st? If they know they cannot be evicted, why would they pay their rent? How do you feel if you pay your $2,000 to your landlord and the guy in the apartment next to you does not and knows that he's untouchable? And then let's talk about something else that people like Sawant are wholly, completely unconcerned with. But let's talk about the United States Constitution, because what she is proposing is that for those 5 months a year, government controls private property. You know, the landlord doesn't control it anymore. Somebody doesn't pay the rent, landlord wants to kick them out, and Sawant says, nope, you're not allowed to do that. So now the government controls your property. Is the city of Seattle going to give the landlord the rent that the renters have skipped? Because if not, this is a blatant violation of the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, which says, among other things, private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. But what Sawant wants is to turn every single apartment and rental house in Seattle into public housing. And you can now be a deadbeat, even if you can afford to pay. The law would say you cannot be evicted. So why pay your rent for 5 months out of the year? This is the insanity of socialism. This is the insanity of, and it's the bedrock foundation of socialism, and that is the government seizing control of private property rights. Because, as I've said a billion times over the last couple of decades, nothing is more essential to a free society than private property rights, which is why private property is addressed in the Bill of Rights, in the United States Constitution, the Fifth Amendment. It is essential to remaining free. And Sawant wants to say that landlords, if somebody is playing their music at 11 at 4 in the morning and making it impossible for all of the other tenants to sleep, if they're smoking meth, shooting up heroin in the apartment, if they aren't paying their bills, you can't touch them. This is insane. I mean, I seriously, every time I hear Sawant open her mouth, I am incredulous at what has happened to my city. The city I grew up in, the city that actually decades ago cared about personal responsibility, a tiny scotch. And then her other point, housing is a human right. No, if you have $1,200 a month rent and you got $1,200 in your hand and you decide to spend that $1,200 on heroin rather than paying your rent, you don't have a right. You don't have a human right to stay in that apartment. This is all insanity. But this is the increasingly mainstream leftist point of view in Seattle. But the Constitution makes it clear that what she's proposing should not be allowed. But again, I'm not sure that Bob Ferguson is interested in the Constitution either as Attorney General. I guarantee you Pete Holmes, our city attorney, couldn't care less. So we'll see if she gets anywhere. But it's another feel-good proposal. Oh, we're not going to put people out in the cold. We are virtuous. Monson is evil. He wants families out in the cold. No, I don't. I want people to be responsible for their own lives, and I want to defend the private property rights of people who own these apartments and rental houses. Nobody speaks for them. Nobody in local media, because you're vilified. Believe me, I know. I don't care. I got a thick skin. But somebody has to speak. Everyone in the media is afraid because they know that it'll be characterized as, oh, so you don't like the poor people. No, I believe in and do a fair amount with the charities that work with the poor, but it's private charities. Government doesn't care about the poor. Swan's just trying to solidify her base. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
Seattle restaurateur Ethan Stoll has announced he's closing three of his restaurants in Ballard and Wallingford. And I have told you, I'm going to say it again, we are still on an economic bubble around here with Amazon, Microsoft, Expedia, you know, just all the big businesses that are propping things up. We're in a bubble. Every economy runs in a cycle. We will, as a region, as a nation, we will hit a recession someday. Who knows when? Maybe it'll be 5 years from now. If we can keep things going strong economically for another 5 years. But in the restaurant industry, one of the things that I really enjoy is going out to dinner with my wife and our daughters and our son-in-law. I enjoy that. You know, we do it for everybody's birthday. They pick the place. And it's one of the things that I treat myself and our family to. But we went, it was Christmas season last year. Son-in-law was out of town, but we got tickets to the Lion King, I think it was, and we went to dinner beforehand, just my wife, three daughters, and me. And it was not the fanciest place, but it was downtown Seattle. And the bill was staggering. You know, we all had a drink, we had a couple appetizers, we had an entree. I don't think we had dessert. It was just staggering. And I was thinking, you know, we do this every once in a while. How are there enough people who can fill these places night after night? And in the Seattle Times story about Ethan Stoll's restaurants closing, Stoll said they've all been challenging from an operational perspective and never been as successful as they need to be. And then they quoted a food journalist, Kevin Alexander, who has a new book where he theorizes the current restaurant boom is a bubble that's about to pop. And then a James Beard Award winner, Matt Diller, who announced Sitkin Spruce is going to close right after New Year's Eve. He told the Seattle Times in September, he thinks a gloomy future awaits the local restaurant industry. There's going to be a reckoning, big time. I don't think it's going to be pretty, he said. I've been saying that for a long time. As long as we're on this bubble, things can barely get by. But when you have the $15 an hour and then you're getting these surcharges for the $15 an hour besides the tip, or some restaurants are including the 20% tip, and then you have the flexible scheduling challenges that restaurant managers have to deal with, all of the government that is being imposed on small businesses, but the restaurant industry being hit particularly hard. I am telling you now, I've been saying it for a long time, whenever this economic bubble bursts, Seattle is going to be hit harder than any city in the country has been hit in decades. I truly think it's going to be like Detroit during the auto bust in the 70s and into the 80s. I think that we are on borrowed time right now, and we are on some just fanciful levels of spending that are unsustainable. And here's the other thing that bothers me, because I always go out and I see people in their 20s and 30s who are dining out. And this is, I guess this is the dad in me, where I wish I could talk to every one of them and say, you know, if you took that $200 you're spending on this meal and you put it into a retirement plan for yourself, if you got an IRA, you started investing that, fix all your own meals, you'll be a millionaire by the time you're 45 years old. And, you know, everybody seems to be spending every penny they're making. And if they're making $60,000 a year or $90,000 or $120,000, they're spending it all. Not everybody. But not enough people have some long horizon view of maybe we shouldn't be going out five nights a week and spending $80 a crack, and now we could take that $400 a week and put it away for our future. There will be a reckoning. I do agree with the guy quoted in this Seattle Times story. It'll be big time. And Seattle's going to be hit harder than any city in a long, long time. And that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Sean, we all set for music in the next segment?
Yes, definitely.
Sweet. All right, Ursula's going to check the news. And then, this is a really good batch, our awesome audio of the week, coming up next.
Sounds like a Vegas pool party.
I heard that 230 is our biggest numbers on the webcam, because everybody knows it's a dance party here on the Dory Monson Show. Ah, shoot. I'm feeling the Cascade version.
This is the Cascade. It's Deadmau5 and Cascade. It's one version.
I'm feeling the vocals version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can you have that at the end of the segment?
Anything for you, Dory.
Thanks, brother. But before we get to that, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Okay, at number three in our awesome... scrolling up, I'm such a knucklehead. I was too busy dancing. Oh, yeah. Joe Biden announced that his hip as can be. He is launching his No Malarkey tour. And Jimmy Kimmel had something to say about that.
Number three.
The No Malarkey Tour is coming to a senior center near you. Who says politicians are out of touch? It's like Grandpa Lusa is on. Good news for Billy Bush. This is now the number one most embarrassing thing involving a candidate and a bus. The No Malarkey Tour was the idea of Biden's social media manager. Here he is. His name's Peepaw. He's... Joe's taking this seriously, but this slogan and his new ad, I don't know that they're helping.
Joe Biden, a fella you can trust, a fella who knows the value of a buffalo nickel. Joe Biden won't deliver a bushel of balderdash and ballyhoo. So if you're tired of all the horse apples and gully huff coming out of Washington, crank up the motor car. Then 23 skidoo to the polls to make your mark for a daddy-o with Moxie. Joe Susquehanna Biden.
I'm Joe Biden, and I'm confused.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
No malarkey. At number two, the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. That was just four days ago. When they pulled off the fake punt, our good buddy Dave Wyman was really excited calling the game with Rabel.
Number two.
I've been wanting to see Homer all year. Just never thought it would be in a situation like this. Pete Carroll, you've got some stones, my man. Holy smokes.
And Pete did address that in our conversation today. If you want to go check out the podcast of the Pete Carroll Show between 12:30 and 1. And then this one is personally very embarrassing to me, but everybody else seemed to enjoy it. And I enjoy it. I mean, it's nicest lady. While I was doing the post-game show at the stadium on Monday night, this nicest couple came up to me, but then she was very sweet to post something to us on Instagram.
Number one.
Great game. Enjoyable. We go to leave, and the person that I geek out about the most, oh yes, we ran into Dory Monson, and I fangirled it. I couldn't even think to get a picture. All I could do was like, oh my gosh, I've been listening to you for like 20 years. It's okay. Dory Monson is amazing. So if you're in the Seattle area, you got to look him up because it's 97.3. He's fantastic.
Good plot.
There were two other commentators sitting there, and didn't matter to me. I was all about seeing Dory Monson, giving him a fist bump, like, my husband has listened to you forever. Yeah, that was me last night.
Just very sweet. That's very, very sweet. Thank you. That's our favorite audio of the week that we're coming out with vocals. Wow. Yeah.
I had it on deck. I'm just, spacing.
All right. Coming up next. Today's sign, the end is near. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. Glad that you've been with us each and every day this week. Thanks again for all the story tips. It was a tipster that allowed us to bring you the exclusive story of how the Seattle City Council is going to expand an insidious tax without a vote of the people. We'll stay on top of that, but we can only bring you these when we get all our great listener tips, so I thank you very much for that. All right, before we're done for the week, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End is Near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, the world. I've talked a lot about my sleep issues for about 40 years, nearly 40 years. I averaged 3 to 4 hours of sleep per night. And for a while, you know, when I was younger, I was proud of that. Yeah, I'm getting the most out of life. I'm up and I'm doing stuff 20 hours a day. And a few years ago, I realized, oh, this is going to kill me if I don't do something about it. So I went to a sleep disorder clinic. I've done some things to try to turn my life around. I've cut way back on the Diet Coke and the caffeine, especially after noon. And so I've made a lot of changes. And I've been sleeping better the last year or so than maybe ever in my life. But here's what I'm working on, because as you get older, life might not have, I mean, when you have kids and I'm coaching and I have all these things that I've got to do, when life was so busy that there literally was not time to sleep, but I was just so fired up about everything that I was doing, whether it was parenting or coaching or whatever. This job, of course, still fires me up. But you can tend to get, as some of those other things that you've enjoyed so much, because I couldn't keep doing some of those things because of the time commitment. And so then, okay, well, life's my radio show, which I love. And I love getting up every day and preparing for this show. And what I'm trying to focus on a lot better is that every day is a gift from God, and that we start every day with a completely blank slate. And it's up to us to determine what we're going to do with this gift. I mean, because what could be more of a blessing than being amidst people you love, doing a job you love? If you're one who loves being in the outdoors and you get to go hiking and walk by rivers and up in mountains and you see that majesty. I mean, however you decide to fill in the blank slate of every day, I need to be better at really appreciating that gift. But apparently, so do a lot of you, because they've just done a new survey of 2,000 Americans who report that we rarely wake up ever in a good mood. They said that in an average calendar year, the average U.S. adult will wake up in a bad mood 300 times, which means you only experience 65 good mornings a year. And I will say that is a foreign concept to me, because every morning I wake up excited to get ready to do the show or whatever I have planned for the day. And for me, it's probably flipped. 300 good mornings, maybe 65 bad if it's a horrible night's sleep. But that means 6 out of 7 days every week, people wake up in a bad mood. And if that's true, that is really sad. And they said that it's traced back to nighttime disruptions. People wake up roughly 3 times per week because of temperature issues, once a week because of outside noise or nightmare. Americans say they get uninterrupted night sleep only a quarter of the time every year. Most people will wake up twice a night and then stay awake for 45 minutes before they can fall back asleep, which cuts back on the REM sleep. So it's still a huge issue in America that so many people wake up grumpy. But we gotta get past that. Every day is a gift from God. How about this? Dateline Miami, where one of the most talked about works of art at, they have an Art Basel show every year. It's a big deal with those snooty. I tell you what, there is nothing more bogus than the subjectivity of art. But a guy named Maurizio Cattelan, his latest work he posted at this show, it is a banana that is duct taped to a wall. It just sold at this art show for $120,000. One art lover said, "It's mocking the art world. That's what Maurizio Cattelan does." No, it is exploiting the idiocy of people who think they're part of the art world. 120 grand for a banana duct tape to a wall. Ooh, edgy. Cool. Okay, and finally in today's sign, as governments and companies invest more in security networks, hundreds of millions more surveillance cameras will be watching the world. And in fact, they say by the year 2021, just over a year from now, they say the number of surveillance cameras will have climbed to over 1 billion worldwide.
I'm just an average man with an average life. I work from 9 to 5. Hey, hell, I pay the price.
Right. Right now, there are about 770 million cameras in the world. Now, I will tell you, China has the most. About half of the worldwide surveillance cameras are in China, but it is fast growing in other populous nations, including the United States. But that's quite a landmark. A billion surveillance cameras in the next couple of years. Somebody indeed will always be watching us. So what I'm trying to say is, we're crying out loud. Comb your hair before you go out. You want to look your very best, you know. I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. And I got to get out of here. I have said everything I have to say for this week. Thanks to Seahawks coach Pete Carroll for coming on with me. If you missed it, go check out our noon hour podcast, MyNorthwest.com, Dory Monson show page. Seahawks play Sunday night football in Los Angeles against the Rams. Our pregame coverage begins at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I'll be joined by Bob Moyer, Michael Bumpus, Ray Roberts, and Jordan Babineau, and we'll take you right up to the Seahawks and Rams kickoff. So I will see you Sunday for Seahawks football, and I'll see you back here Monday, high noon. Hello. And I don't feel safe anymore. Oh, what a mess. I wonder who's watching me now. The IRS. I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me. Okay, that's all the time we have here on Ya Heard. I'm Heard Happily, Channel 4.
More like Turd Crapley.
Yes, yes.
Yeah? Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.